Welcome to The Confident Wallet, a personal finance podcast series from the Washington Post brand studio and T. Rowe Price. This podcast is designed to inspire long-term success by helping listeners make informed decisions on saving and investing. My name is Kevin McCormilly, and I'm the former chief content officer at Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine. I'll be your host and moderator. Today's discussion features a roundtable conversation with savvy experts designed to enable listeners make more informed financial decisions. Investing is difficult enough on its own, but some people make investing for retirement far more complicated than it needs to be. And there are ways to simplify your investment accounts, from rolling over 401ks to consolidating IRAs to utilizing target date funds so that you can focus on what's really important. My guests today include Stuart Ritter, a certified financial planner at T. Rowe Price, and Diane Harris, former editor-in-chief of Money Magazine and now editorial director of Considerable.com, a new website for people who are redefining what it means to grow older. Welcome to the show, Diane and Stuart.
Very happy to be here.
Thank you.
Okay, our goal today is to help investors simplify their lives by simplifying their retirement savings. So let's jump right in. Stuart, what does it mean to simplify your retirement strategy?
It means to make things easier and being more confident that what you're doing with the money you've saved for retirement is on track to help you get there. When you're trying to achieve any financial goal, there are three decisions you need to make: how much to save, what account to use, because you get tax benefits for certain accounts, and how you're going to invest your money. So the simplifying part comes in with the accounts and the investing. Here's the way to think about it. We all know, if you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle, that the 500-piece puzzle is easier to do than the 1,000-piece puzzle, and the 20-piece puzzle that they make for kids is way easier to do than the 500-piece puzzle. So simplifying your retirement savings is taking all those puzzle pieces that are connected to your retirement and reducing the number, bringing them all together so you can see everything in front of you, and making it easier for you to make those connections so you can feel confident that the picture you're looking at is the one you want to see.
Hey, Diane, how do you put the puzzle together?
Well, I'm with Stuart on that. You know, I am a big proponent of trying to simplify your finances across the board, not just your retirement savings, because our lives are already so complicated and busy, we don't need to add complexity to it. And when we do add complexity, we're less likely to take action on our own behalf, because when you have too many things going on, you often freeze. There's a lot of research that shows that when we have too many options, we have too many investments, we tend not to do anything at all. So it's really important to get a picture that you can really see. If you have multiple retirement accounts, if you have several 401ks from different employers, plus IRAs, maybe from self-employment, you're really a prime candidate for consolidating. Also, anytime you're at a life turning point, every time you're doing a pivot, so if you leave an old job, if you start a new one, if you're heading into retirement, those are good inflection points when you want to think about really simplifying.
Okay, thank you, Diane. Stuart, Diane mentioned some of these reasons when you know you need to simplify. Could you add any more how you know you're the one who has to simplify to get that puzzle down to 20 pieces?
Yeah, if it's been a little while since you've paid attention to something, you might want to make it easier for yourself. And as we go through life, there are things early in our life that we spend a lot of time on because it interests us or we have the time. And then things change and our interests evolve, and sometimes we don't have as much time as we did in the past. If you've neglected something, that's the time to think about whether there might be a way to change how it's being managed so that you're not leaving it behind and you are getting it on the path it needs to be to help you get to the financial goal you're trying to get to.
Okay, so it's going to be simpler. Are there other advantages to consolidating and having fewer moving pieces rather than just making your life easier, having less paperwork to deal with?
Well, you get a more complete view. When you have everything in one place, it makes it a lot easier to see what you have. It's hard to keep track of how much you have and how it's invested when it's spread among multiple accounts.
So is the worry there that you're going to miss something, that something's going to be operating out of your sight that could be a problem for you?
Well, that could be it, but it could also just be a matter of having overlapping investments. You know, it's hard to keep track of the percentage you have in stocks and bonds, if you have overlap, what your asset allocation is. I mean, you just don't get a single picture. And when you're trying to put all the pictures together, it's harder to see.
Now, of course, one possible way to simplify things is to roll over a workplace 401k into an IRA. Stuart, what are the pros and cons of doing that? That's a big decision people have to make.
Yeah, you've either recently left an employer or maybe you left a while ago and the money is with the old employer's retirement plan. And there are four options you have with that. And what's behind doors number one, two, and three is still pretty good from a tax standpoint. When I get to door number four, things are going to change. So the first three options you have behind door number one is, in many cases, you can just leave the money in that employer's 401k. If it's a low balance, you might have to do something else with it. But door number one is leave it with the employer. Door number two is you can roll it over into an IRA. Door number three is if you've got a new employer and they have a 401k that will take old 401k money, you can take that old 401k money and roll it into the new 401k. Now, in all three of those cases, the tax advantage you have by having the money in that 401k is maintained. And that's maintained whether it was originally traditional money or Roth money. In other words, you put the money in pre-tax and it'll be taxed when you withdraw it, or you put the money in after tax and if it's a qualified withdrawal, you don't pay taxes when you withdraw it in retirement. So that tax benefit is maintained with those three doors. Here's what's behind door number four. Door number four is cashing it out. It's saying, send me a check and I'm going to spend it, or I'll just put it in my bank account, but it moves out of a retirement account. If you do that, depending upon what kind of money it is, it could be included in your income, so you're taxed on it. Depending upon your particular situation and age, you might even pay a penalty on that money. And worst of all, you've taken money that was earmarked for retirement that you were going to spend later on, and now not only is that money gone, but any of the earnings that it could potentially have growing on that account are gone as well. It's like playing chutes and ladders where you get up to that second level and you look at it and go, I'm not up that high. But if you keep going down that one slide and returning down to the bottom because you're taking the money out of the account and spending it, you're never going to get to the top where you need to be for retirement.
Diane, what's your view on the rollover versus not of a 401k?
You definitely want to think about whether or not you want to roll over old 401ks into your new employer's plan. If you have a great plan and it's low-cost investments and you've been satisfied, you don't really need to move it unless you have multiple accounts. And then again, the benefits we're talking about of consolidating, of seeing everything in one place, makes a lot of sense. But if it's a good plan and you don't have multiple accounts, you don't need to roll it over.
You say you're reluctant to move it to a new employer's plan, so you'd rather keep it in the old employer's plan or move it to an IRA. Do you think those are the better choices?
I think it really depends on how good the plan is. If you have low-cost investments, you have good options, there's no harm in just leaving the money where it is. Again, my caveat would be unless you have many different accounts, and then it's just hard to keep track of them. Mm-hmm. So why not consolidate? If you have a lousy plan and there are high costs in your 401k, which is often the case with small company plans, then rolling it over to an IRA makes a lot of sense.
Other advantages of rolling it to an IRA, Stuart?
A couple of things you can consider when making the decision, looking at the investments, looking at fees, looking at whether you have to put a portfolio together yourself or you have access to an option that packages things for you if you've decided you don't want to be the one keeping track of those kinds of things, and then what other services you might be getting. Those considerations exist in old employer plans, what an IRA company might offer you, what your new employer plan might have. So looking at those kinds of things can help you decide for an individual account what might be the best choice. And then returning again to what Diane has been emphasizing, don't just look at these things in isolation. Look at the big picture and say, gee, if I've got too many of these, then being able to simplify it overall, the advantage that I might get on the margin for something, an individual account, isn't worth the extra effort it's now going to take me to keep track of that.
Okay. Well, are there any kinds of retirement accounts that cannot be consolidated, that have to stay separate?
There are a couple of things that do have to stay separated. So first of all, we've been talking about this IRA. Many people have heard of it. It stands for Individual Retirement Arrangements, also known as Individual Retirement Accounts. The first word there is individual. So if you're looking across your household's accounts and you have some IRAs and somebody else has IRAs, you cannot put those together. They're individual. They've got to stay with you. The second thing is there's tax treatment that is different depending upon what kind of IRA or what kind of 401k you have. There are traditional IRAs, that's the pre-tax contribution and taxed on withdrawal generally, and Roth IRAs, where you've already paid taxes on the money you put in, and then qualified withdrawals aren't taxed on the back end. Those have to stay separated. So your traditional accounts have to stay separated from your Roth accounts. You can't actually move money from a traditional account to a Roth account, but there are tax implications with that. So you can consolidate and simplify to some degree, but be aware that it's not as if you're going to, in most cases, be able to take all of your money across your entire household, stick it all in one account, and get it down to one puzzle piece.
Basically, you can only combine accounts that work in the same way. So accounts in which your contributions are tax deductible and you pay taxes when you withdraw, those are eligible under a lot of circumstances to be combined. And accounts like Roth's, whether it's an IRA or a 401k, where you're making your contributions with after-tax money but the withdrawals are free, would also be eligible to be combined. But they have to work in the same way. And as Stuart said, you know, they have to be individual. You know, it's retirement accounts are in a single person's name only.
Right. This is sort of a curveball. But what about an inherited IRA? But the inherited IRA has to be kept separate from your own IRAs because there's a different withdrawal schedule. A lot of people think, well, why can't we put them all together, simplify our lives? It can't. That's just another kind of IRA.
In one place where you can consolidate an IRA that you inherit is if it's from your spouse. Then you're allowed to roll the money into your own and call it yours. Other than that, it does need to be kept separate.
Very good point. So once we consolidate our accounts, how does that affect the investment allocation within this huge amount of money that we have now?
When you're looking at your investments, you need to be thinking first about your time horizon. How long is it going to be until I'm going to use this money? And not just until I get to the beginning of retirement, but you're going to be spending this money throughout retirement. So we tell people to plan on 30 years in retirement. For most people who are listening to this podcast, we're looking at decades and decades before you're using the money. Well, you might have different pieces of the money, different pots in different places. You have to have a holistic viewpoint of it because it's this money that's going to be supporting you in retirement. So when you put it all together, it has to have a coherent picture of what your investments need to look like in terms of how much you have in stocks, how much you have in bonds, and how much you have in short-term investments. And Diane alluded to this earlier, that you need to be making sure that that balance across those three asset classes, is the formal term for it, is right for your time horizon. And you have to look at it across all of your money. You can't just look at one account and say, I'm going to invest that this way, and I'm going to invest this one another way, without thinking about how those two are going to work together.
As Diane said earlier, this is another advantage of consolidating because you see that picture quicker and know where everything is.
Yes.
And there are tools that can help you. I mean, most 401k providers have a tool that shows you what that allocation is across the various funds. It's very important to get that single picture, and there are tools that can help you.
And speaking of tools, Stuart, what are target date funds and what role can they play in this whole simplification issue?
Target date funds are a mutual fund that puts a mix of stocks, bonds, and short-term investments together that's based on a particular time horizon. So the way to think about it is in the old days, if I needed some medicine, the way I got the medicine is I went out in my backyard and I got the herbs and the leaves and the roots and a mortar and pestle and I ground it all together and I made my own. And anytime I needed something, I had to go out and get it and I had to put it together myself. Now, we've got much more sophisticated ways to create medicines and get them to people. In the old days, I would have to go out and pick all the stocks and the bonds on my own. And even after the first mutual fund was created, which packaged stocks and bonds together for me, now we're at the point where you have many mutual funds, And a target date fund puts a package around a set of mutual funds for you. So it creates one investment that gives you that mix of stocks, bonds, and short-term investments, that gives you a diversified portfolio of stocks, many different kinds of stocks, many different kinds of bonds, based on a particular time horizon. It has a mix that's appropriate for that time horizon. And even better, as you get older and your time horizon shortens, the mix changes on its own. So it's an easy way to make sure you've got a portfolio that's put together with one single investment.
Diane, Stuart just mentioned one single investment. Do you think that you can really take all of your retirement money and put it in a single fund?
Yes, I do. I do. I am a fan of target date funds for a certain kind of investor, maybe even most investors. I think that having an allocation based on your time horizon that works for you and that is automatically shifted into somewhat more conservative investments the closer you get to retirement and through retirement, and it's sort of one-stop shopping and just makes it easy for yourself, I think that that's a great thing. I think that mostly we make mistakes by doing too much, by tinkering too much, by trying to time the market. And thinking that your money is in the hands of a professional manager who is going to make those allocation shifts for you, I think it's a great thing.
Okay, so let's say you've got a 401k and you've got an IRA. Would you put the money from both of those different kinds of retirement tools in a target date fund? Or would you have a target date fund in the IRA, say, and different collection of mutual funds in the 401k?
One mistake that people make is, and I don't think it really matters whether it's in two accounts or one, is mixing a target date fund with other investments. And that sort of detracts from what the target date fund does.
Okay.
So do one or the other. You know, have a target date fund, or you could have a handful of funds that give you exposure to different kinds of markets, bonds and stocks, domestic funds and foreign, and big stocks and small company stocks. And you can do it that way. You know, that's another way of putting together a portfolio. But do one or the other. Don't mix.
Do you agree, Stuart?
Absolutely. Think of the target date fund as a medication that's been put together specifically for your metabolism, what your body needs to get better. And if you then mix in something else, you're throwing the whole thing out of whack.
And I'll just add that there's research that shows that people who mix the two earn lower returns than people who do one or the other.
Thank you very much. Now, here's the challenge I've got for you. We like to call it keeping you up at night. I'll give you a hypothetical situation that people often don't feel confident about, and you respond with your perspective. Here it is. It can sometimes feel like managing investments needs to be a full-time job in order to keep things from slipping through the cracks. How can regular investors, mere mortals, get some peace of mind that they aren't forgetting something important? Diane?
Two things. One is don't check your balances constantly, especially when the market is volatile. Remember that your retirement savings are for the long term, so you don't have to be in there mucking it up. Set reminders on your phone to check your balances once a year to rebalance, and then otherwise leave it alone. The other thing that I would just say is to have enough cash reserves to see you through for at least 6 months without dipping into savings, and a year or two if you're within a couple of years of retirement or already retired. And that's peace of mind because you know you don't have to touch your savings if something goes wrong.
Very good. Stuart, what's your advice?
Keep it simple. If you're saving the right amount, if you're using a tax-advantaged account, if you've got the right mix of stocks, bonds, and short-term investments, and you're diversified with lots of different stocks and lots of different bonds, you're 90, 95% of the way there. Putting in place a way that's going to shift from stocks to bonds as you get older, whether that's you looking at it on a regular basis, and by regular I mean once a year, maybe twice, or you're in an investment that does that for you, you've got things taken care of. Don't feel like you've got to be, I like the word tinkering, with something on a regular basis. Do the basics, put those in place, simplify it, and then you can feel confident that you've got a plan that will get you there. And then you just need to stick to the plan.
That's great. I think we've sort of covered this, but we like to wrap up each episode with a segment we call If You Remember One Thing, where we ask you to think of one takeaway from this episode. Diane, is there one thing that you think is the most important when we're talking about simplifying retirement investing?
Well, you know, it's not just about simplifying. It's about when it comes to retirement savings, period, and that's that mistakes and setbacks aren't fatal. To me, making a mistake with your retirement savings or having the market turn against you is not the death of your financial security. You have options at every stage, at every age, to get back on track, even after you retired. And what's critical about this is that fear of making a mistake when it comes to our money often paralyzes us. We're so worried about making a mistake that we don't take action in our own best interest. And so just remember that you can always recover.
Thank you. Stuart?
Take one step to make things simpler for you. If you've got a couple of different accounts, then consider taking one account and consolidating with another account. I know a lot of people expect us to come out and say, oh, you've got to make a complete inventory of every account and every investment. You don't have to go off and do that level of homework. Make simplifying simple. Take one step. Put two accounts together or consolidate a couple of investments or shift to a target date fund. Ease your mind in terms of the kinds of things that you need to be focusing on when it comes to retirement. Get to the point where you know you're moving towards making it simpler, getting it on track, and that'll make you feel more confident that you're doing the right thing to get to retirement.
Make simplifying simple. I just love it.
Okay. Thank you both for a lot of great advice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to join us for our next episode, Women in Finances. And if you like The Confident Wallet, please rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This episode of the Confident Wallet podcast series is provided for general and educational purposes only and is not intended to provide legal, tax, or investment advice. This podcast episode does not provide fiduciary recommendations concerning investments or investment management. It is not individualized to the needs of any specific benefit plan or retirement investor, nor is it directed to any recipient in connection with a specific investment or investment management decision. Investors will need to consider their own circumstances before making an investment decision. All investments involve risk, including possible loss of principal. The views expressed at the time of this presentation may have changed since that time. Please consult the fund's prospectuses for a more complete discussion of the fund's risks. The principal value of target date funds is not guaranteed at any time, including at or after the target date, which is the approximate year an investor plans to retire, assumed to be age 65, and likely stop making new investments in the fund. If an investor plans to retire significantly earlier or later than age 65, the funds may not be an appropriate investment, even if the investor is retiring on or near the target date. The fund's allocations among a broad range of underlying stock and bond funds will change over time. The funds generally emphasize potential capital appreciation during the early phases of retirement asset accumulation, balance the need for appreciation with the need for income as retirement approaches, and focus on supporting an income stream over a long-term post-retirement withdrawal horizon. The funds are not designed for a lump sum redemption at the target date and do not guarantee a particular level of income. The funds maintain a substantial allocation to equities both prior to and after the target date, which can result in greater volatility over shorter time horizons. When deciding between an employer-sponsored plan and an IRA, there may be important differences to consider, such as the range of investment options, fees and expenses, availability of services, and distribution rules, including differences in applicable taxes and penalties. Depending on your plan's investment options, in some cases, the investment management fees associated with your plan's investment options may be lower than similar investment options offered outside of the plan. An IRA should be considered a long-term investment. IRAs generally have expenses and account fees, which may impact the value of the account. Non-qualified withdrawals may be subject to taxes and penalties. Maximum contributions are subject to eligibility requirements. For more detailed information about taxes, consult IRS Publication 590 or a tax advisor regarding personal circumstances. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against loss in a declining market. T. Rowe Price, the Bighorn Sheep Design, and the Confident Wallet, collectively and or apart, are trademarks of T. Rowe Price Group, Incorporated. All rights reserved. The trademarks displayed throughout this podcast are the property of their respective owners. T. Rowe Price Investment Services, Incorporated.